Hello, Debbie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? Looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you. And I'm awesome now that you and I are chatting. I've been so excited about this interview for various reasons, as you know. So I just want to tell our audience who doesn't know who you are, sort of a little bit about your background. So I'm wondering if you can, let them know what you do today and a little bit about your history and how you got to doing the amazing work and very much needed work that you're doing today.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm in business 32 years, health, mindset, personal development. And then I had a really painful betrayal from my family. I thought I did everything I needed to do to heal from that. And then it happened a few years later. This time it was my husband. That was the deal breaker, got him out of the house. And here I was thinking, okay, well, what's similar to these two things? Me, what else? And I realized I never took my own needs seriously. Boundaries were always getting crossed. And I'm one of those people that feels if nothing changes, nothing changes. So I decided to launch myself into this PhD program only because there wasn't a book on it, there wasn't a program. So I wanted to get a whole PhD in it. And then it was time to to study betrayal. And then it was time to do a study. So that's exactly what I studied. And my only intention was just to get it together so I could be there for my kids, my clients. And I did the study, and that study made three discoveries. And I was like, you can't go back to doing what you were doing now that there's a proven, predictable way to heal from all of it. So that study changed my health, my family, my work, my life. And it led to the PBT, the Post Betrayal Transformation Institute. And we can talk all about the discoveries and whatever you want.
I love it. Yeah, I'm like glued to what you're saying. We had some time to chat at the conference we were in and where we met in Denver. But I find what you do, so first of all, big applause to you because I feel as an entrepreneur, when you always set out to do something, but a true, really amazing entrepreneur and founder will see the holes. And it's like you found holes and you found sort of a gap where it is so incredibly needed. And doing what I do, I'm shocked I did not know about you prior. So most people know that I have a private investigation agency for the last few decades. And people never call me because they're happy. They call me when their worlds and their lives are falling apart. And there is always a betrayal component to it. And like you, I've done hundreds and thousands of case studies. And to your point, it is not so much the act of the lying, the cheating, the betrayal, the breakup. It is sort of the carnage, if you will, and the aftermath. Because going through it, I feel like we're humans and we've got that survival instinct. I think women, have shown me, and men, I have beautiful women and men clients. They've shown me such fearlessness and resilience and whatever. And whether, I deal with them for a few days, few weeks, few months, there's always that time that, like what you said, where it comes that you feel like, Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz, where a house just fell on me. And how do I get it off? Because when the adrenaline is going and everything, and like you said, you had to be there for your kids, and how beautiful is that? But you have to pick up the pieces, and how do you get there? It's hard. And so that's where you found the gap. And so, can you share a little bit about these three discoveries that, I'm sure there was many, but sort of the three key points that you are referring to?
Yeah, and that's what was so shocking about this. I did not expect this at all. But the first one was betrayal is a different type of trauma. I'd been through death of a loved one. I'd been through disease. And I was like, betrayal feels different. I didn't want to assume it was the same for all my study participants. So I asked them, if you've been through other traumas, does betrayal feel different for you? Unanimously, they said, oh my gosh, it's so different. Here's why. Because it feels so intentional, we take it so personally. So the entire self gets shattered. Rejection, abandonment, belonging, confidence, worthiness, trust are shattered. Think about it. If you lose someone you love, you grieve, you're sad, you mourn the loss, life will never be the same. But you don't necessarily question the relationship. You don't question your ability to trust. You don't question your sanity with betrayal, you do. So that type of healing needed its own name, which is now called post-betrayal transformation. That was the first discovery. Want me to get to the second?
I love that. And hold on. So let's touch on that for a second. So the first discovery is that the betrayal is intentional. And it is that sort of, if people are wanting to make notes and whatnot. So the betrayal really is intentional. And you're right. When you lose a loved one, there might be stuff, there might be whatever, but everybody knows, you know, we all have our day. Nobody's getting out of here alive. And loss that way does become a part of acceptance as, you know, you grow from a small child onward. But is sort of the realization is that it didn't have its own healing path, or was number one sort of the fact that it was intentional?
It's that betrayal is a different type of trauma that needs a very different way to heal because it's so different. Because of how it hits us. So that was the first one.
Healing.
The second one was that there's actually a collection of symptoms, physical, mental, and emotional, so common to betrayal, it's now known as post-betrayal syndrome. We've had over 95,000 plus people take our post-betrayal syndrome assessment to see to what extent they're struggling. A few things about that. First of all, we've all been taught time heals all wounds. I have the proof that when it comes to betrayal, that's not true. That's not true. A new relationship won't heal it. Time won't heal it. Healing is deliberate and intentional. And until and unless you do that, it will follow you into every relationship you have. It'll follow you into your health, your work, your relationships. So every few months, I pull some stats from the quiz just to see where people land. And I'm happy to share them if that would serve.
Yes.
Okay, because that'd be really awkward if you said no. Okay, so this is out of 95,000 people.
It would be like, no, I haven't healed my own trauma, right? No, well, I love the fact that you're doing this. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to talk over you. I think we talked about this earlier, modern technology, it's your best friend or often your worst nightmare. I think we have a little bit of a delay. So excuse me if I talked over you, but I think this is such an important topic. I think, you know, 30 minutes is not enough. I think this is going to be sort of an ongoing series with you and I, because again, with my clients that come to me, and I only service, you know, thousands a month, I say only. So once they're done, people always want to, you know, do coaching with me. And unfortunately, I've closed my book. I have my regular clients for the last several years. And so they don't know where to go, because it's not really, yes, you can go to a traditional therapist, psychologist, psychiatrist, but that's just very much in the box. You're like so outside of the box dealing with the exact thing that they're traumatized by. So please, yes, go ahead.
And I'll tell you, we have so many people coming into the PBT Institute with therapy trauma, because if that therapist, psychologist, psychiatrist, counselor is not skilled in the third discovery, it's going to actually keep them stuck. We see it every single day. So I'm going to just share some stats and then we'll get to the third discovery. Everyone will know exactly where they are in their healing journey when I get to the third discovery. So now imagine, these are symptoms that you may think, oh, it's due to aging. Oh, it's due to stress. No, it's not. It's due to an unhealed betrayal. Ready? 78%, this is out of 95,000 people, constantly revisit their experience. 80% are hypervigilant. 94% deal with painful triggers. And if you've ever had a trigger, you know how painful they are. Here are the most common physical symptoms. 71% have low energy. 68% have sleep issues. 63% have extreme fatigue. You wake up, you're exhausted. Your adrenals have tanked. 47% have weight changes. In the beginning, you can't hold food down. Later on, you're emotionally eating. You're using food for comfort. 45% have a digestive issue. That could be anything. Crohn's, IBS, diverticulitis, constipation, diarrhea, you name it. The most common mental symptoms, 78% are overwhelmed. 64% are in shock, 62% can't concentrate. So imagine you can't concentrate, you're exhausted, you have a gut issue, you still have to feed your kids, you still have to go to work. That's not even emotionally.
You still have to get up every day and you still have to get up every day and function. So
exactly.
Wow. I mean, you probably named off every single symptom that I know that my clients and friends and family that have experienced this go through.
Oh, yeah.
So Wow, amazing. And so now what?
Yeah, so there, I just want to name a few more because you will see how spot on this is.
Oh, yes.
88% experience extreme sadness, 83% are so angry. You can go back and forth between those two all day long. This one killed me. 84% have an inability to trust. Imagine what that would do for you. I mean, I can go on and on. Here's what's so crazy about those stats. They're not even necessarily from a recent betrayal. This could be from the parent who did something awful when you were a kid. This could be from the girlfriend or boyfriend who broke your heart in high school. So think about this. That person may not know, care, remember. They may not even be alive. And here we are decades later with these symptoms because it's just left unhealed. The good news is you can heal from all of it, which is the third discovery.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is, wow. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to, before we get to the third though, let's just touch on that for a minute. Mm-hmm. So many important things that you just said before giving me the, even the second kind of part of it. I think the thing that really, like you said, really kind of hurts me for others is the non-trust issue. You know, a lot of times I'm in the thick of the beginning of it and they will tell me, I will never date again. I will never love again. I will never allow somebody to know me again. I will never allow somebody into my life or my children's life. And I think, do not make that decision or that call yet. And so that's my inner voice speaking. I don't tell them that, but it is, like you said, about, you know, healing and forgiveness. And, you know, people, I've got my own take on forgiveness and I will share in a moment, but, you know, I feel like not only are they robbing them, themselves, the world, the children, mm-hmm. in their lives of a wonderful life. Most importantly, they're robbing themselves of that experience that they can still do that again, because, you know, there's some wonderful people out there and one person or two or three, and some people have, you know, sadly really experienced more than one sort of betrayal. They can heal from that, which you're going to get into now, which is the third.
Yeah. And that's a classic sign of an unhealed betrayal. Classic. You know, in relationships, I'll see it in one of two ways. Repeat betrayals, that's unhealed. Or the big wall goes up, like, nope, been there, done that. No one's doing that to me again. And we think it's coming from a place of strength. It's not. It's coming from fear. So they're not healed. They're hardened. And when I go through the next stage, the next discovery, you'll see exactly why these people are where they are. The third was the most exciting of all of the discoveries. And what was discovered was, while we can stay stuck for years, decades, a lifetime, and so many people do, if we're going to fully heal, and by fully heal, I mean those symptoms of post-betrayal syndrome that I just shared, to this completely rebuilt place called post-betrayal transformation, we're going to go through five proven, predictable stages. And what's even more exciting about that is we know what happens physically, mentally, and emotionally at every stage. And we know what we need to do in order to move from one stage to the next. Healing is entirely predictable. And I'll share the five stages. You will see exactly where that non-trusting shows up. Want me to go through the stages?
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, hell to the yes, please.
And see if you've totally, if you think you've totally healed, remember, I'll say it, you'll know exactly where you were in your journey, or at the very least, you'll know exactly where you are. So stage one is before it happens. And if you can imagine four legs of a table, the four legs being physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, what I saw with everybody, me too, was a heavy lean on the physical and mental, thinking and doing, we're so good at that, and kind of neglecting or ignoring the emotional and the spiritual feeling and being. If a table only has two legs, it is easy for that table to topple over. That's us. Stage two, shock, trauma, D-Day, discovery day, the scariest of all of the stages. This is when they come to you. This is the breakdown of the body, the mind, and the worldview. Right here, you've ignited the stress response. You are now headed for every single stress-related symptom, illness, condition, disease. Your mind is in a complete state of chaos and overwhelm. You cannot wrap your mind around what you just learned. This makes no sense. And your worldview has just been shattered. Your worldview is your mental model, the rules that govern us. Don't go there. Trust this person. These are the rules. And in one earth-shattering moment, every rule you've held to be real and true is no longer. The bottom has bottomed out on you, and a new bottom hasn't been formed yet. This is terrifying. But think about it. If the bottom were to bottom out on you, what would you do? You would grab hold of anything or anyone in order to stay safe and stay alive. And that's stage three. Survival instincts emerge. It's the most practical out of all of the stages. If you can't help me, get out of my way. How do I survive this experience? Who do I call? You know, how do I feed my kids? Here's the trap though. Stage three, hands down by far, is the most common place we get stuck. Here's why. Once we've figured out how to survive our experience, because it feels so much better than where we just came from, we think it's good. We're like, okay. And because we don't know there's anywhere else to go, we don't know there's a stage four or stage five. Transformation doesn't even begin until stage four. But because we don't know there's anywhere else to go, we plant roots here, we park here. We're not supposed to, but we do. Four things start to happen. The first thing is you start getting all those small self-benefits. You get your story. We love our story. You get to be right. You get sympathy from everyone you tell your story to, right? You don't have to learn to trust again. Should I trust you? Can I trust you? I forget it. I'm not trusting anybody. And you plant deeper roots. You're not supposed to, but you don't know. And now because you're here longer than you should be, the mind starts doing things like, you know, maybe you're not that great. Maybe you deserved it. Maybe this, maybe that. You plant deeper roots. And now because these are the thoughts you're thinking, this is the energy you start putting out. Like energy attracts like energy. So now you start attracting people and circumstances and even relationships to confirm, yep, this is where you belong. Here's where people join that lame support group that keeps them stuck. And they will sabotage their healing because now they found their people. Here's where people will sabotage their healing because they're afraid to outgrow their betrayer. Does that make sense? It gets worse, but I'll get you out of
here. Oh, it makes so much sense. And
yeah.
And it's almost like the misery, and I hate this saying, but it's almost like misery loves company. So it's a familiar feeling. And I know all my teachings with Tony Robbins was, it's almost that figure eight, right? Like you try to get out, but then you go back to where you're comfortable. Even if it's like you said, the worst place ever, you kind of get there. Then you, you know, go up whatever. And then people or circumstances or outside influences drag you down because I think people don't know that there's something after this, which is brilliant.
You're exactly right. And it gets worse. It gets worse, but I'll get you out of here. Because it feels so bad, but you don't know there's anywhere else to go, right here, we start numbing, avoiding, distracting. So we start using food, drugs, alcohol, work, TV, whatever it is, to numb and avoid and distract ourselves. So think about it. We do it for a day, a week, a month. Now it's a habit, a year, 10 years, 20 years. And I can see someone 20 years later and say, that emotional eating you're doing or that drinking you're doing, do you think that has anything to do with your betrayal? And they would look at me like I'm crazy. You see, it happened 20 years ago. All they did was lock themselves in stage three and stay there. You see?
Yes. How so interesting and so spot on. I love it.
So that's, yeah. And that's why most people are solidly rooted in stage three. And the longer they stay, the worse it gets. And then they wind up medicating and suppressing their symptoms, having relationships to confirm all their feelings of lack and scarcity and everything else. And that's where they live. Anyway, if you're willing, willingness is a big word right here. If you're willing to let go of the small self-benefits, grieve, mourn the loss, a bunch of things you need to do, you move to stage four. Stage four is finding and adjusting to a new normal. So here's where you acknowledge, I can't change what happened, but I control what I do with it. Just in that decision, you're turning down the stress response. You're not healing just yet, but you just stopped the massive damage you were picking up in stages two and stage three. Stage four feels like, If you've ever moved to a new house, office, condo, whatever, your stuff's not all there. It's not quite cozy yet, but you're like, okay, we can do this. We got this. It feels like that. But think about it. If you were to move, you don't take everything with you. You don't take the things that don't represent the version of you you want to be in this new space. And what I found was there's this one spot when people go from stage three to stage four. If your friends weren't there for you, you're done. You're done with them. That lame support group, you're done. The betrayer who isn't changing, you're done. And so people say to me all the time, what the heck? I've had these friends 10, 20, 30 years. Is it me? Yes, it is. You're undergoing a transformation. And if they don't rise, they don't come along. Very, very common.
Love that. That is so key for anybody who's listening, going through this, has gone through it, is considering going through it. You're going to make some unpopular decisions for others, but the best decision for yourself. And that is going to mean that friends and family, because they see the growth in you, right? Mm-hmm. And they're going to be terrified because they're going to say, well, I can never rise to that. So let's pull them back down. So we're all on sort of an even playing field, if you will. And I've experienced that myself. And sadly, I've had to let go of friends and family who I, you know, to this day love dearly, but I just can't have in my space because it's not healthy. And, you know, you talk about healthy boundaries. Mm-hmm. It's really an embetterment of your life, which is going to cost you some friendships and relationships. That's just, I think people need to understand and wrap their head around that. Would you say that's true?
It's 100% true. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because people just think, you know, is it me, as in there's something wrong with me? No, you're growing. You're growing, and that's why. But that's also why you need to have your relationships in a different place to hold you to it. I'm going to show you something you will never forget it, and then I'm going to go to stage five. You see this? You see my hands right here? So this is what people typically mm-hmm. do. They're with their partner, their friends, their coworker, whoever, that then they get betrayed. They're so miserable and uncomfortable and unhappy, and then they just, so they go back to something very similar. And they wind up doing this all the time. But what you need to do is start moving through the stages, right? But here's what happens. If you're so bent and committed on being with this person, you know what you do? You keep sabotaging yourself because you're afraid to outgrow them. But you like it up here. So then you're like, well, why can't they do this? Well, they're not ready. So eventually what happens is you do this, there's here, and you get like this. So ideally, you move through the stages. This person may say, I better step up my game to meet the strength of that person. They do this. Now you have a very different relationship. And I mean, that's all we do in the PBTSD. We get someone to their, you know, highest and best, their stage five. We have a program for the betrayer too. If that person is willing to do that, they meet up again up here. But what typical counselors do, and therapists who don't understand, the person wants to do this, but they're so bent on, we just have to make sure they're okay. So they're just trying to kind of keep this. How do we just make this okay? This isn't okay. It's never okay anymore. Does that make sense?
Oh, for me, 1,000%. I'm just hoping that our audience is like grasping what you're saying, because it is worth its weight in gold, what you're saying, for their healing and the beginning of a new, wonderful, fulfilled, you know, life that is filled with confidence and self-belief. But you have to go through these stages. And, you know, my whole thing is, you know, you better get comfortable with being uncomfortable, because growth is not a comfortable state. No. And no. I just, you know, I heard this, I think it was on Instagram, but somebody was talking about somebody's wife, which I won't mention, but nevertheless, and she said, and they're in the trillionaires. Okay. And she said, I'm just comfortable with being uncomfortable. That's my new norm. And I've sort of adapted that before it was said that way. But you know, to be the one percenter, and I know, you know, this, Debbie, is you have to be uncomfortable. So you're going to be uncomfortable for a while, and that's okay, because what's on the other side of that is so incredible. So I had to say that. So, and it was Elon Musk's wife that said that, actually. But nevertheless, go ahead. I'm so excited to hear all this and to share this with the audience, because it is so incredibly needed. So incredibly needed.
And that's the thing, you know, and rebuilding, just so, and I'll get to stage five. Rebuilding is always a choice. Whether you rebuild yourself and move along, that's that person who just stays here and refuses to move. You really have nothing to work with, right? So, you know, you go your own way. That's what I did with my family. Or if the situation lends itself, if you're willing, if you want to, you rebuild something from the ground up new with the person who hurt you. That's what I did with my husband. So not long ago is to totally transform people We married each other again. New rings, new vows, new dress, and our four kids as our bridal party. Never in a billion years would I have done, would I have done anything like that if I wasn't totally transformed and he wasn't either. And that's exactly what happened. That was the deal breaker. And I was like, all right, I'm doing this because I just have to be good for my kids and my work and whatever on his own, because he lost all of us. He lost everything. He did this and we met back up again here. Mm. So it's not what I see so often is
so people, beautiful.
People are so afraid of the death of the old. That's the only way you birth the new. The only way, but they're so afraid of that. So they keep patching it up, patching it up, patching it up. It doesn't work. It just doesn't. So, yeah. And just to finish up.
Absolutely not. You know, putting Band-Aids on things, not a good idea. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, but that's where the transformation is. It's in, and I'll even share, if we have time, the three groups in the study who did not heal. Anyway, when you've settled into this new space of creating this new version of you, and you've made it kind of mentally home, you move into the fifth most beautiful stage. And this is healing, rebirth, and a new worldview. Your body starts to heal. Self-love, self-care, eating well, exercise. You didn't have the head for that before. You were surviving. Now you do. Your mind is healing. You're making all kinds of new rules, new boundaries based on everything you see so clearly now. And you have a new worldview based on the road you just traveled. And the four legs of the table, in the beginning, it was all about physical and mental. By this point, we're solidly grounded because we're focused on the emotional and the spiritual too. Those are the five stages. Mm.
I love that. And, you know, I'm sure what you taught your children sort of going through this, I mean, again, you and I will talk in another podcast. I've gone through similar things, but I feel that people are always very worried about what this means and what it says to their children. And my thought process is it shows them, you know, your strength. It shows unity as a family unit, even though at a point it sounds like your husband wasn't involved. Because one person is removed, it didn't mean the whole family was totally, you know, broken and falling apart, even though it felt like it to everybody. And what a beautiful thing to be able to show them, you know, the rebirth, right? The greatness sort of after all the work has been done, because I'm sure they know, you know, kids are much smarter, even at a young age. And at all ages, even though you think you're hiding stuff or not sharing everything, right? I mean, obviously you share it age appropriately. It makes me a little bit cuckoo, let's say, when people go and tell their very young child or any children sort of what happens between partners. I think you have to explain something, but even at any age, I really think just this is my personal view and somebody very near and dear to me when I went through my divorce was like, do not involve the children, because regardless of the way that you cut it, they are still a part of that person. And if you cut that person up, you know, subconsciously you're cutting them up. And that stuck with me always. And we can all say things negatively if we choose to do so, or you can choose to rise above it and just, you know, take your experience and learn and grow from it. And that's one of the major things I love about your program and your philosophy is like, you can take this and you can be okay. Actually, you can live a rock star life. If you actually choose to go through these five steps, you can have a life you've never dreamed of.
Oh, you are actually, you are deliberately and intentionally creating a new version of yourself. You take all the parts you love, you leave behind everything that no longer serves. I see the strongest, healthiest, most confident, happiest people in stage five. And in stage five, I mean, that's where you're ready for a new relationship with someone else, the person who hurt you at a very different level. That's what the PBT Institute was, a stage five thing, you know, so you're able to do things like that. But just as far as the kids go, you know, I believe every family, you know, does what they feel is best. But that you're so right. I was so concerned about the kids. My husband was actually the one who told them. So, you know, to have your four teenage kids looking at you like, you did what to mom? If anything has you fall from grace and wake up and realize what's important, it's losing everything and everyone you love. But what happened after that was, it was like team mom, but they saw me crash and I was like, don't you worry. I don't know how I'm going to do this. You're going to see me rise. And there was an internal thing. I go, I don't know how in the world I'm going to heal from this, but if I can, I'm taking everybody with me. Like, it was just a knowing. And the kids,
I love that.
And the kids just really banded together. I mean, I said, I'm not firing as, you know, off on all cylinders here. I'm going to do the best I can. I love you with every cell of my being. I'm doing my best. I'm going to need a little bit of grace right here. And it was so interesting because they were like, mom, we got you, whatever you need. And then when we got married again, I purposely didn't have friends, family. Like, I just wanted our immediate family because I wanted the kids to all write something. And I was so concerned, you know, what would they think? What would they say? Every one of them was talking about the gift of strength that they learned about love, about forgiveness, about second chances, about boundaries, about, like, they learned so much. And I'll tell you, it's the four of them. And now we have two additions, one getting married, a girlfriend, and we are all having the best time ever, making up for so much lost time. And just,
that is so beautiful. I probably cried off my eyelashes. You've said so many things that have touched me even personally that a lot of people don't know, but that is where, you know, sharing those experiences with the kids, because I feel like life is going to throw you curveballs. I don't care who you are. Either you're in a state where you're not paying attention, but you're going to go through things like that. And being able to share such an intimate sort of, like you said, the crash and burn, which is terrifying, not only for you, for sure for them, right? And then all banding together and creating that unity, like, we've got your back, mom. That is beyond, like, I've got the goosebumps. And then also being able to come back together. Like, we don't all get necessarily the happily ever after. I definitely did with another situation, but I feel that it's the growth, and that there's so many and so much valuable lessons. Like you said, I can't even imagine what they all wrote, but it was probably so heartfelt. And you can watch this in a movie, you can learn it in a classroom, but to be able to experience that, you almost look at it like it was a gift of what happened, because you were able to teach, you know, your, not only your children, but this has now become your legacy, the way I see it, Debbie, this beautiful legacy of being able to heal hundreds and thousands of people.
Yeah, it's, and that's trauma well served. You know, I mean, because really, I had a very powerful story. I was betrayed by everybody I believed in, and everybody would have given me sympathy. But instead, we're helping hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, it just makes it so much more worthwhile. And you know, kids need to learn stuff, and I think it's really important that they learn resilience and they learn strength. And it's only when we're tested do we see how strong we are. And I wasn't going to let the kids just see me, you know, crawl under the covers and not come out. Like, that just wasn't an option. It just wasn't. And it's interesting because as people are moving through this experience, it's the ones who put their head down and say, I have no idea what life's going to look like, but I am just going to keep going till I'm out the other side. They blow the doors off of the three groups, if we have time, I'll share, who did not heal.
Yes.
And healing is, it really has become a choice. There's a roadmap for it now. So if you're staying stuck, know you're in stage three, and there's something about it that feels very familiar, that feels very comfortable. Maybe you don't believe in yourself enough to think I could move to the next stage, or maybe there's a worthiness issue or whatever, but all of that is keeping you so tragically stuck in stage three. Like, the worst of it happened already. You owe it to yourself to experience that transformation. And it is waiting for you in stages four and five.
I love that. So do share the last three, because I've got two more questions before we have to say see you soon, because it's not goodbye. I have so many questions. I started writing and then I just gave up because there's hundreds of questions that I want to ask you. And you mm-hmm. and I definitely have to do a LinkedIn Live, and some of these questions can be answered there. So you were going to also end by saying there was another three stages of why people stay stuck. Is that correct?
Yeah, the three groups that did not heal. And listen, as the researcher, yes. I went in thinking, okay, well, the ones who were the hardest hit would grow the least because they had the most to overcome. That had nothing to do with it. These groups did not heal. Mm. Number one, the group that was, they had their story, they were sticking with it. They were betrayed. They had their story. They were so deeply rooted in stage three, they couldn't imagine anything beyond that. They didn't heal. The second group, this was the group that was numbing, avoiding, distracting. They ran to the doctor who put them on a mood stabilizer or anti-anxiety medication. They started drinking, emotionally eating, whatever. It may have made the day a bit easier to get through, not without a price. They didn't heal. They didn't. The third group, this was so interesting. This was a group where the betrayer had very little consequences, whether it was out of financial fear, not wanting to break up a family, religious reasons. That was a really popular one. They did all they could just to like look the other way, turn the other cheek. I saw two things with this group. Number one, a further deterioration of that relationship. And number two, that group was the most physically sick. Your broken heart can't take
that. Wow.
Oh, yeah. But they were so committed to just like, la, 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 I don't hear. I'm not, you know, and they paid the price in their health, in their relationships, in everything.
Mm. Wow, that is so insightful. Everything that you've said, I mean, there's not one thing that I can disagree with or kind of, you know, question or ponder, you know, is that truth? Everything you're saying is spot on. So, you know, kudos to you. What you have developed really is a life-changing, transformational journey. And I can't wait to hear and know more about it, because there's so much that you have talked about today. And I know we're going to get flooded with questions. So thank you so much for sharing. I have a couple of quick questions for you personally. Mm-hmm. So you know what our brand name is, obviously. So I want to ask you, what does it mean to you to be unbreakable? Like if you think of that word, or if you think I am unbreakable, and not only do you need the t-shirt, you need the hat, you need the bumper sticker, you need all of it. But what does it mean to you to be unbreakable?
You know, I think it's really important. You know, when people say I'm broken, like, no, you're not, you're bent. These things happen. Things come along that will bend us. We're never broken. We're never broken. These things come our way to show us how strong we are. And these are all opportunities to say, what am I going to do with this? The people who hurt us the most are by far our greatest teachers. It's a sucky way to learn a lot of lessons, but it's really true. It's when you look at it and say, I never would have been this strong, this resilient, never would have created this thing, whatever it is for you, had this not happened. That's being unbreakable. What do you do with it? Yeah, you can be stuck in your trauma, or you can do something really good with it. It's up to you.
I love that. I love it. And my answer is always very similar, and hence why I created the brand. But it is only through these tough times that we grow. And like you said, that we really see, okay, what are we made out of, right? Exactly. And so one of the tactics that I also use with a lot of my clients is to change the narrative, as opposed to, oh, I got rejected, somebody slammed the door in my face, mm-hmm. you know, no, I was cheated on, whatever. I'm like, change the narrative, which is, you know, such a simple thing to do. And it's like, okay, universe, or whoever you will, you know, pray to or believe in, what are you trying to tell me? Okay, I hear you. Okay, times are really hard right now. What is it you're trying to say? I will rename rejection as redirection, and it sucks and it's painful and it's tough, but what is it trying to, it's taking me on another path, because that's not my path. And so I think simple things like that are so key, but everything that you have said about being unbreakable and your whole philosophy and your case studies are just absolutely brilliant. My last question to you, you are doing so many fantastic, wonderful, life-changing work. Is there anything you can give us a sneak peek in on for what's next, or are you doing something else that you can kind of share with us?
Yeah, sure. It's actually two things. One is last September, the PBT Institute founded National Forgiveness Day. So it's a day to forgive yourself for being too hard on yourself, a day to forgive others, whatever it is. So that's September 1st. That's coming up. And the second thing is we have a new division in the PBT Institute, and it's PBT Corporate. And the reason why we're doing that is we have so many people from one from this company, one from that company, one from the other company. And companies just think, okay, well, let me have as a benefit a therapist or a counselor. And it doesn't work. If that person isn't highly skilled in the five stages from betrayal to breakthrough, they're actually paying that person to keep them stuck. So we're trying to bring our platform as a resource to all different companies so that their people can look, feel, live, perform better, and they can have a more productive, healthier, happier workforce.
So important. You know what? I love you even more than I did before with everything that you're trying to, everything you've accomplished, but you continue to trailblaze and see, well, how can I make it better for others? And I really, big love and big kudos to you for everything you've done and continue to do. And I cannot wait for our next podcast with you. Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you so much. I was so excited to do this with you, my new friend.
Me too. Chat soon.